You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up later, we'll talk to an advocate for people with disabilities about some of her concerns about the proposals included in Governor Walker's budget.
First, when Governor Walker delivered that state budget address last Tuesday, it wasn't just Wisconsinites who were watching with interest.
As speculation over a Walker presidential run grows, more and more national observers are paying close attention to Walker's proposals, including a $300 million cut to the University of Wisconsin and a $220 million grant for a new stadium for the Milwaukee Bucks. So how do these proposals help or hurt the governor's presidential aspirations?
Joining us now is Leanne Caldwell. She's a political reporter for NBC News. Leanne, welcome to Central Time.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So when you look at this budget proposal and our governor's other activities, looking at Wisconsin from the outside, do you have any doubt that Governor Walker is going to run for president?
I have no doubt that Governor Walker is going to run for president. This is a very political document. It was kind of a Republican-type manifesto that was written to attract conservatives on the national stage. And so it was a very political document, but it also does give some insight into what Scott Walker thinks and how he might govern.
We'll dig into that a little deeper, but more broadly here in Wisconsin, of course, there's a lot of attention to Governor Walker's potential presidential run. Is there that kind of buzz at the national level? Are people really talking about him as a strong contender on the Republican side?
They are. He has done well in recent polls. He topped a poll in Iowa last week. He topped a poll in New Hampshire last week as well. And so right now he's kind of in the Republican front-runner status. Of course, there's very early on, there's several candidates who are on that same tier with him, including former Florida Governor Jeb Bush. But people are taking a very serious look at Scott Walker. I talked to Republican donors, and many are very intrigued, and some have already said that they're going to get behind him.
So looking at the budget proposal, you said it looks like a Republican manifesto. What are some of the key points in there that you see really appealing to likely caucus voters or early primary voters?
Well, his pledge to end Common Core is definitely one. Another is what's been a conservative talking point of recent that has kind of been revived from a couple decades ago is drug testing of welfare recipients. That was another one. And then, of course, one of the more controversial things are these education budgets the cuts to the University of Wisconsin system that could be seen both ways, actually. It could be politically risky for Walker, but it also could be a boomlet for him in some of these Republican primary districts.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that point. You say that's the one thing that could hang Governor Walker up. Are you thinking that in primary season, that's something that could be a problem for him? Or is this something where, as if he gets through the primary season in a general election, that would be maybe a liability?
It's definitely going to be more of a liability in a general election. But there are some components of the Republican Party who look at this and wonder what he's doing. I talked to a pretty prominent conservative in Iowa who has a radio show and is pretty influential there. And he's more of the ilk that says, look, You're making these cuts to education, but then you're going to give $220 million to the NBA. And he looks at that as just crony capitalism, and it makes no sense. And so he says that's going to be really hard for Walker to attack because, especially, remember, if the Democrats don't have a difficult primary, which it looks like they might not, with Hillary Clinton perhaps jumping in the race, Democrats are going to spend money in the Republican primary as well and try to influence the outcome, and that could very well be an attack. Walker cuts $300 million from the University of Wisconsin system but gives $220 million to the NBA, and that could influence some of these conservative voters as well.
So for the conservative voters, it sounds like you're saying the education cuts in and of themselves might not be the problem. the support for a stadium, the new arena in Milwaukee, that might be.
Yeah, it's about looking at the whole picture. And, you know, sometimes the whole picture gets lost in politics, for sure. It sometimes tapers down to sound bites. But some of these people, some of these conservatives who are politically active, you know, Iowa voters are notorious for knowing the issues very well. And they could look at, you know, this entire budget and say, hey, this doesn't really make sense. Almost half of the budget you're going, or the budget deficit you're going to cut with, or you're going to make up with cuts to the University of Wisconsin system, and then you're going to just diminish those with giving money to an extremely profitable and wealthy organization such as the NBA.
Now, one of the challenges in a Republican primary is, are you trying to appeal to the more conservative base, likely people to come out in caucus votes and primary votes, or are you going more the mainstream moderate establishment path? Governor Walker, I've seen some analysis that suggests he may have appeal to both sides of that.
That's right. George Will was on a conservative talk show host or talk show recently, and he said that Walker is the person who can do that, the one that can bridge the Republican Party. And it's really interesting when I do talk to people in the Republican presidential realm. I always ask if Walker, you know, is he considered an establishment Republican, or is he considered more of a Tea Party type? And I get both answers, and it's really interesting that he's able to give the persona that he can straddle both realms within the conservative base. And so that is one of the appeals that even the Republican establishment likes about him, the fact that he's kind of seems kind of part them, but also can talk in the language and talk to the more Tea Party type.
I could see that as a advantage, obviously, but maybe a liability if I'm a conservative caucus voter. Do I want somebody who isn't straddling that line? I want somebody who's all Tea Party for me, and maybe the same from the other end, from the moderate side. I don't want somebody who might be on the Tea Party side. Are people viewing that as a possible liability, that people might want to go toward somebody closer to their own end of the spectrum?
Well, I haven't heard that so much about Walker, because people think Walker is authentic. And that's one of the words that I do get when I talk to people about Scott Walker. They say that there's a level of authenticity there that people really really look to in a potential presidential candidate. And Walker hasn't really, he's kind of positioned himself nationally as this person who's willing to do what no one else is willing to do. He's willing to take on the unions. He's willing to do what no other conservative or Republican has been able to do as successfully. And he does it more than just with his talk, is what Republicans say. I mean, they look at Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, and they say, yeah, part of his MO is to, you know, speak the truth and say it how it is and not sugarcoat anything. But with Walker, they say it's not about what he says, but in his actions, and you can look at his budget as one. And so I haven't really heard that criticism about Scott Walker yet. I think that if a Republican, a conservative in the Iowa caucuses is going to want someone who completely believes, you know, exactly is in line with their beliefs, there's a lot of different candidates to choose from, in the sense of the Iowa caucus, the voters are usually split between Christian conservatives and social conservatives, and then you have the more economic libertarian conservatives. And so there's going to be a lot of those candidates who will appeal strictly to those bases, but people are saying that Walker is able to appeal to all of them.
Some people have looked at this and said, okay, a Midwestern Republican governor winning in a purple state, a lot of buzz leading into the primaries, and then thinking of Tim Pawlenty of Minnesota, who flamed out very, very early in the primary process last time. Are any Republicans maybe hesitant to step on the Scott Walker bandwagon because of that comparison?
There's been a lot of comparison between Scott Walker and Tim Pawlenty, for sure. But even Pawlenty has come out and said, you know, Scott Walker has what I didn't have, and that is a massive donor base. And, yeah, votes are going to enable you to win a caucus or win a primary, but the donors and the money is what's going to get you into the next contest. And with Scott Walker winning 3 elections in 4 years in a relatively blue state, he has amassed major support nationally from people who are willing to finance his campaign. And that's the difference between Tim Pawlenty and Scott Walker.
So the recall election in particular, where there are a lot of donations, all the limits were off the table there, that enabled him to build up a potential presidential donor list?
Absolutely. And remember that, as you all know very well, that that election was not in November with any other elections. It was in the spring or early summer. And so that's what people were paying attention to. It was between major elections, Republican donors who were looking for a cause to support. There was Scott Walker, one who was taking on one of the Republicans' main opponents is the unions. And so Scott Walker utilized that opportunity extremely well, and it could pay huge dividends for him in 2016.
We're talking with NBC News reporter Leanne Caldwell about Governor Walker's proposed state budget and what it means for his presidential ambitions, and we want to hear from you, too.
Do you think the governor's budget helps or hurts his possible presidential run? Are there proposals in the budget that you think could propel him to the top if he runs, or do you think his plan could cause headaches on the campaign trail? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking with NBC News reporter Leanne Caldwell about Governor Walker's proposed state budget and what it means for his presidential ambitions. You could join in with your questions and your thoughts at 800-642-1234. What signals do you think that budget sends to early primary voters? And hey, if you are one of our listeners in Iowa, do you vote in the primaries, in the Republican primaries in particular? What is your view of Governor Walker as a potential candidate? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Go right to a caller. We've got Marilyn on the line in Janesville. Marilyn, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
Well, I do like the fact that Governor Walker is able to talk across the party line. That's it.
That's it. Marilyn, thanks for the call. Leanne, so Marilyn perceives Governor Walker, I mean, there's a lot of polarization here in Wisconsin. She perceives him as somebody who could work across party lines. Do you think, as you talk to people about him, is that a view you hear from Republicans or Democrats?
That's not really a view I hear right now. I mean, people are so focused on this, on the Republican primary. Just winning that is going to be a huge feat. And so everyone's kind of focused on what role each of these candidates is going to take within this Republican primary. And the Democrats definitely aren't talking about bipartisanship right now. They are planning to attack Walker, and they're going to attack a lot of these, especially top-tier candidates, as the primary progresses into a general election should Walker win the nomination.
Marilyn, thanks for that call. We'll go to John with us next in Tomahawk. John, hi.
Hello.
What do you think, John?
I'm just kind of wanting to comment on what I believe is Scott Walker's appeal in the state of Wisconsin. I kind of want to prequel this, but I'm not really a fan of Scott Walker, but I kind of see what he's tapped into and where his support has been coming from. And I haven't really heard a lot of comments on it, so I just wanted to make this comment. What I see happening is he's tapping into this very conservative ideal of cutting waste and kind of giving people this hint that they're going to get more back from the state or receive tax cuts or have the government at a state level, at least potentially a national level, shrink down and reduce in size and less interference with people's lives. I think that's really what he's tapping into and where he's getting the support.
Gotcha, John. Your line's breaking up there a little bit. I think we get the gist. Leanne, that's kind of the core message that a lot of conservative Republican voters will be looking for. Reduce the size of government and cut taxes.
Yeah, and Scott Walker's budget is proof that that is what he's all about. I was talking to a couple people who watch Republican politics very closely, and they said that this budget does two things. It shows that Scott Walker is dedicated to reducing the size of government, including taxes. I mean, there's the property taxes that are cuts that are proposed in the budget, despite all these other massive cuts and the state budget deficit. But also the other thing is that it also shows that he is going to continue to try to show that he is someone who is bold and willing to take risks, because this budget could be kind of risky for him on a national stage, especially should he win the nomination. And so those two things are really appealing to conservatives.
John, thanks for the call. We'll go to Dennis next in Appleton. Dennis, hi.
Hi. I supported Governor Walker, but I think he knew exactly what he's doing when he put this budget together. He's going to show the big cuts. He knows they're going to be changed, but he can use that as a platform to say, I've tried to make the cuts, I've tried to reduce government, and it'll play well on the national stage. But I think short, long-term for Wisconsin, it's not the best thing.
Dennis, thanks for the call. So he's saying the legislature might modify some of these big cuts, but the governor will still have that original document to say, here's what I proposed.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a proposal, right? President Obama unveiled his budget proposal as well, and they both have a long way to go before they're implemented. But yeah, it's a blueprint, and it's a document. It's a document of policy priorities, and he's on the record with these policy priorities, and he's pretty specific with them.
Back to our callers. We've got Chris on the line in Sussex. Chris, hi.
Hi. A couple of points I wanted to make. One of your last callers had said that she felt that Walker could speak across party lines, and I really disagree with that. I think that all of his policies have pretty much been shoved down the throats of people who disagree with him. The second point I'd like to make is I hope that this budget, that people are realizing that this really shows his intention, which I believe is really bolstering the upper class while continuing to take away from, you know, the middle class and people in the lower class.
Chris, thanks for that call. Leanne, in your reporting on this, you talk about some of the potential Democratic lines of attack of a presidential candidate, Scott Walker. Is that one of them, trying to make the case that he supports the upper class at the expense of the middle class?
Absolutely. The Democrat, that's going to be a common theme among the Democrats are going to use among many of these Republican presidential candidates or potential candidates, and Scott Walker won't be immune to them at all, especially with how Scott Walker lately has been talking about the safety net and cuts to entitlements as Medicaid and changes to Social Security and drug testing, welfare recipients or food stamp recipients. And so he is playing into Democratic attacks that are going to be very textbook, that do plague many Republicans in how they do talk about especially not even just the middle class but low-income people.
Chris, thanks for the call. We've got Elaine with us next in Colfax. Elaine, hi.
Hi. I don't think Governor Walker will hold up to the national spotlight. I think he's very, very divisive. I think he's taken an axe to the state of Wisconsin. He's actually quite reckless. He comes across because he doesn't seem to have a normal conscience. He doesn't seem to be bothered by any way that this has hurt any individual or the institution of great higher learning in the state or the morale of teachers. So I think on closer inspection, when people really look at his record, they'll see him as reckless.
Elaine, thanks a lot for the call. Now, that's what she's saying might speak to a general election, but in a primary, a lot of people are looking for somebody who's going to carry the banner, going to do the things that the core really supports. Do you see that risk of divisiveness or polarization being a drawback for Scott Walker in a presidential campaign?
I'm not sure. In the primary, I'm not sure if primary voters are really looking for someone who can bridge the gap and work across party lines. But Elaine did bring up something really important, and that is the fact now that Walker does kind of have this top-tier status, the vetting on the national stage is going to start very intensely. When you're polling at 2%, the vetting's not going to be as hard, but once you actually have a chance of perhaps clinching, winning this nomination, even though we're, you know, a year out before votes, national reporters, the Democratic Party, there's going to be a lot of opposition research and just research done on Scott Walker and his background and how he governs. And so the vetting is going to get much more intense for Scott Walker than it has been.
In the last Republican primary, all the way through, you had Mitt Romney and the not Mitt Romney kind of flavor of the month thing. Michelle Bachmann, Herman Cain, the list goes out, Rick Santorum. What, at this early stage, does a candidate have to do to not peak and then fizzle and then drop out of the race early?
I know. It is very early, and a lot of these candidates are going to peak. It's a roller coaster ride, and they've entered onto that journey, and Scott Walker is kind of one of the first it candidates. You know, there's Jeb Bush out there, too, who is registering top among the polls. But it's going to be difficult, and they're going to rise and they're going to fall, but what matters is where they are when it matters, and that is when people head to the polls. How are they able to keep up their endurance and use this race as the marathon it is and not the sprint to even just Iowa? Because there's a lot beyond that if they're going to actually win.
Leanne, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
That's Leanne Caldwell. She's a reporter at NBC News.